you follow the news, you might be wondering, what's going on in Myanmar? A coup? Yes, definitely. And how did we get here? Well, to answer that question, we have to go back into the past, something we so often do, and find out the power dynamics there. And in order to understand the present-day conflict of Myanmar, or Burma as it was previously called, let's focus on certain groups which constitute a significant part of the stakeholders in the country's past and present-day politics. Two of these groups are the present-day religious population of the country, the Buddhist group and the Rohingya Muslims. And then there is the third one, the element of British colonialism. That part is there. And the fourth one is the army there. So let's just go one by one and see the history of these groups and their influence on the politics. The first is the Buddhist population. Close to 90% of the Burmese population practices Buddhism, with most of them following the Theravada school of thought. Buddhism has existed in the country for over 2000 years, but it was only in the year 1057 when its king Anavrata founded the first unified Myanmar state that it became the religion of the state. Following this, many other dynasties emerged and perished. But Buddhism continued its journey and it remained the majority religion there. And that's why for a vast number of people, the national identity pretty much means the same thing as the Buddhist identity. Let's now add the other population into it, which is of Rohingya Muslims. Islam had reached Myanmar quite early through religious clerics, traders, and even in some cases invaders. There were some Mongolian invasions as well. But at the same time, we are not talking about the Muslims in the mainland Myanmar. We're talking about the Arakan region, which is now in Rakhine state, which existed as a separate state prior to 1824. Remember, this 1824 is the year when the first Anglo-Burmese war was fought, and which pretty much like every war of that time, British won, and they signed a treaty, and according to that, they seized the control of Burma and it became part of British India, which I think it later became. So as Britishers were having control over there, many laborers from the Bengal, of which is now in India and part of it is in Bangladesh, many laborers were moved from that region into the Arakan region. The idea was that those laborers were probably going to work there for some time, but that never happened. Some of them stayed back, and that kind of fueled the resentment between the Buddhist population and this Muslim. Most of these migrants were Muslims, these populations. So these two groups, they kind of had some conflicts, because as I said, the native Buddhists, they never saw the immigrant Muslims as the natives' residents. So that's why there was always this kind of animosity there. Now let's add the colonialist angle to it. So Burma became a province legally of British India in 1885 and 86. Before that also British influence was there, wasn't really a part of British India. Then in 1937, the British separated it from India and turned it into a separate crown colony. And because of that, eventually when the country got freedom, it became a separate country from India. But this was also the time when the first troubles emerged. Most of us and people who have lived in the subcontinent are very well aware of the divide and rule policy of the British colonialists. So the story was the same here. There was this huge divide between the Buddhist population and Muslim population, and it was fueled by the British. And the Buddhists believed that the British were favoring Muslims over Buddhists. And that became clearer after British promised a kind of separate country to these Muslims. It wasn't clear though at that time whether they would get a separate country for themselves or they would become a part of the East Pakistan, which is now called as Bangladesh. But there was a clear division. Now let's move ahead and talk about the fourth important group in this, which is the Burmese army. First, you must understand the previous reference to Pakistan is not coincidental. In fact, the relationship between the elected government and the army bears a stark resemblance to that in Pakistan. Because just like in Pakistan, the army was quite powerful ever since the country was liberated from the British. Aung San, the founder of Myanmar Armed Forces and father of Aung San Suu Kyi, he first led forces against the British when Japan invaded Burma in 1942, and then he switched sides and turned against the Japanese. And eventually, when he became the premier in 1945, he was only among many military commanders who were going to interfere in the political affairs. He kind of set the precedent for it. And although he's known as the father of the nation in Myanmar, but I don't think it was a good idea for somebody who was a military commander to get into the politics. And then another trouble happened. He was assassinated among many other his fellow politicians. And ever since then, there has been a cat and mouse game between the army and the politicians. Myanmar it's like one of the rare countries where there is a fixed quota for military personnel in the parliament. But it's just not that. There have been coups, there have been detentions of politicians. I mean, we all know Suu Kyi was kept in house arrest on and off in 80s and 90s, even after that in 21st century. And now when we are in 2021, she is once again in the arrest. And army has seized control. But lastly, to put everything into perspective, I think putting all the blames on the politicians, on the army or the British colonialists, that doesn't tell the entire story. The Burmese people themselves, they have been engaged in a number of internal conflicts which don't seem to end. The Rohingya crisis, for example, is just one of them. These conflicts have largely been ethnic-based, with several ethnic armed groups fighting Myanmar's armed forces. And in fact, despite numerous ceasefires and the creation of autonomous and self-administered zones in 2008, many groups still continue to call for some kind of separate autonomy or the federalization of the country. The conflict is some kind of civil war. It's an ongoing civil war. It does not seem to end. And that's where we are. And finally, if you'd like to read a bit on Burma or Myanmar, let me suggest you a few books. Two of them are novels. One is a non-fiction work. It's a travel memoir. The two novels are. One is Burmese Days by George Orwell, and the other one is Miss Burma by Charmaine Craig. Both of these novels, they tell, although a fictional story, but there is a lot of real life events there, and particularly real life events surrounding the politics, the power struggle, and what was happening in the 20th century, which is very crucial and kind of prelude to the whole story. Then there is the travel book, as I said, it's by Norman Lewis. It's called Golden Earth. And although it's sort of a travel book, but it tells you about the politics and the polarization in the country, what kind of divides are growing, what kind of conflicts are emerging. So you'll get very interesting insights through these books.